just keep right on going. We did Haggai last time. Haggai had a friend. His name was Zechariah. Two young men that came back from the captivity in Babylon. The prophets that the Lord raised up among this little handful of his children that he drew. Literally, he drew them out of Babylon. And he arranged it so that the Gentile powers that were in position, Cyrus in particular, Cyrus actually, we went over this last time, Cyrus actually writes a law that says that anyone that wanted to go back was to go back and rebuild the temple and that they were to offer up prayers for him. Now, remember we talked about this last time. Daniel's still alive when Cyrus comes to power. He was a very old man. But David understood the prophecies in Isaiah 44 and 45, where God, 150 years before this, writes down Cyrus's name and how he is going to come to power, how he is going to take over the city of Nineveh, how he stops the water of the river and marches his troops underneath the walls. Not Nineveh, Babylon. So he knows, and he was in the court of Cyrus. Now, it doesn't say in scriptures that Daniel took, you know, the Old Testament prophets and showed Cyrus, but when you look at how favorable Cyrus says, this is the God that raised me up to power. This is the one who put me in power. And he says, he calls him by Jehovah. He doesn't say, you know, Nisroch or the gods of the Babylonians or the gods of the Medes and Persians. No, he calls them Jehovah, the God of Israel. So evidently, Daniel went to him, this old man. Now, we know that everybody else was eliminated. They tried to get rid of Daniel. That's how he ends up in the lion's den. They're trying to get rid of him because he's spotless in his reputation. He will not lie. He will not cheat. He will not take bribes. And so Darius trusts him, and Cyrus does too. And so I am sure that Daniel, I can just picture it. I'd love to have a time machine. It would be great. Wouldn't you like to go back there and see Daniel going in, this old, tottering old man? Now, my vision of Daniel is always he has a hairstyle very similar to mine. Okay? They always show him with a full head of hair, but not mine. My Daniel has a widening part. Okay? So I see this old guy going up there with his book of Isaiah and saying, come here, Cyrus, I want to show you something. Here's your name, written 150 years before. Jehovah said that you would become king. And that it says right here that you will write a law that says that we are to go back home after 70 years and rebuild the temple. And that from that temple, God's people will pray for you. He says, well, give me a pen. He takes out a pen and he writes out the law of the Medes and Persians. When he stamps it with his ring, it's immutable, just like the word of God. And so they went back, and we looked at it last time, and they're dilly-dallying around. They're building their own houses. They're fixing their own houses up. And so Haggai comes out and says, how are things going, boys and girls? That's my version of it. Not going so well, huh? You plant crops, you don't get back what you plant. You grow vineyards, you don't get enough grapes out of the vineyards to fill a bucket. He says, you build my house. That's why I brought you back here. At the end of the book of Haggai, when they start building the Lord's house, a couple months later, he comes back and says, from this day forward, I'm turning things around because you are obeying my word. Boy, that's not a message just for the people back then, 450 B.C., that's a message for us. God's word is immutable. It tells us what inheritance we have. It tells us that we are to build the temple of the Lord. We talked about that temple last time. Although in this, the people would have understood stones and boards. We know that the temple of the Lord goes way beyond stones and boards. What do we have in Peter? The temple of the Lord is made up of living stones. Us. What did your elder say? We need to build up the younger stones because the older ones are going to be replaced. That's the way the Lord builds his house. It's a continual house. And it's made up of people from the time of Adam all the way until the last man. And there's going to come a day when he will gather all of these stones together, and we will be in him, and he will be in us, just like he says in John chapter 17. So, we come to Zechariah. Now, Zechariah picks it up. He starts his prophecy a couple months after Haggai starts, but before Haggai finishes. So there's this period of months, and Haggai starts, and he's chiding the people, and then Zechariah comes in, and then Haggai finishes, and Zechariah goes on afterwards. But the book of Zechariah, unlike the book of Haggai, Haggai is almost entirely focused on the people that were there. They're not doing what God wants. Get your act together and get going. Zechariah is going to take this way beyond that. And as I go through the book of Zechariah, if the Lord gives me a chance, we're going to go through it. I want you to understand this. Try to understand the perspective. Zechariah is speaking just to Jews. He's not speaking to the Gentiles. He's not speaking to the people that live there in the land. He's speaking to the little handful of God's people, the Jews that were there, for a specific time and a specific purpose. But as the Holy Spirit speaks through Zechariah, you're going to see the words of Zechariah are going to morph. They're going to change from just the focus on stones and individual peoples 450 BC to God's temple that is eternal. For God is going to do his work in time and eternity. And so this book will start out with time and history and the current day and the day that is yet to come, what we will call, or what we all know as the millennial kingdom, and beyond in eternity. So when we look at the book of Zechariah, you're going to have to take your glasses and kind of cock them a little bit, because he is going to come at it from the Jewish perspective. But buried deep inside of that is God's perspective about man and those that he will call to himself. And that includes us. All right. Enough of this. Carol always says your introduction was a half an hour long. You only had 5 minutes left to speak. That's why I have her. She is my, you know, those singers, they always have the amen chorus in the background, you know. So fine, you know, the people in the back. Not me, I got one, and she's back there saying, not so fine, not so fine, you spent too much. She helps me. She is a great help me. She really is. And you that are married, you know that you have a partner that was made just for you. And she has a role and a responsibility too. As we are to love our wives and they are to love and obey us, we do this because this is God's image and his purpose for teaching us about himself. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Oh, I have come to really appreciate these things that we just kind of buzz over because they mean nothing to us in our languages, in our culture, in our society. There's a man who was born, his name was Zechariah, and his father gave him the name Zechariah. And the man who gave him his name Zechariah was a man by the name of Berechiah, and Berechiah was the son of a man whose name was Iddo. What do these names mean? Zechariah, you can hear it in the word, Zechariah. J-A-H, only in our Bible it's I-A-A, I-A-H. But in the Hebrew it would have been Yah for Yehovah. Zechariah. The name means Jehovah remembers. So you need to write that down. Put it in a note in your Bible. Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. And you see it in his father's name. His father's name is Berechiah. Again, we have Jehovah there, but what is the first part? The first part is Jehovah blesses. And then his father's name was Iddo, and Iddo means in his gods, in his appointed time. So now we read all the names together, and what do we have? Jehovah remembers and will bless his in his appointed time. Bingo, there's the whole book of Zechariah in the first verse, in the name, that is the title that God gives for this book. God will remember and he will bless in his appointed time. Not a minute before, not a minute later. And he is going to bless his people because this is what he wants to do. And he doesn't forget anything. He sees what the world does to his. He sees how his children obey or disobey. And he deals with all of us under this title. God, Jehovah, remembers and he will bless his people in his appointed time. And what does God say? The Lord, again in your Bible, remember when you see all caps there, that's the word Jehovah. And Jehovah hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Let's go back to Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6, a little bit of a historical, what's really going on here. Go back, you got Ezra. Ezra is right before that. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. I'm actually going to read 14 and 15. Here's what it says, back in Ezra chapter 6. It says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. Now, sixth year, the eighth, the month Adar, okay? Now you go back and we look here, this is the eighth month of the second year. So it's 3.5, almost 4 years later that they will finish the temple, which means back here, they're still building it. They have just finished laying the foundations. We saw this in the book of Haggai. He says, go out there. You haven't done a thing. And they go out there and they clean away the rubble where they're going to put the foundations. And they have to dig down to the bedrock and put those big foundation pillars, stones in the ground that they will build on top of. And that's what they're doing in the book of Haggai, and they're doing it here in Zechariah, but they're not going to finish this work for another 3.5 years. But back there, God says that he is going to bless his people because they did what he asked them to do. So we're able to look at this as further down. It's almost like we can go back and we can look at this whole history of God dealing with his people as it unfolds. And what do we see? Well, God comes to us and he tells us, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to build my house. This is the template that I have given you, and this is what I expect you to do, and I expect you to do it with all of your strength and all of your might. And I want you to rejoice in the work that I put in your hands. And don't grow weary of well-doing. Think of all the verses that we have that God's talking to us as believers about. And at the end, what does it say at the end? When the temple is built, when God's house is constructed, when the people are there worshiping the Lord, when they are communing with God, when we are remembering what he has done for us, God is pleased. How many of you would like, let's say that you're going to die tonight. How would you like to wake up tomorrow and God put his arm around you and say, wow, I really love the way you were singing for me yesterday. Yeah, you were off a little bit. You were a little bit flat because I think you had a cold or something. But the thoughts that you were thinking about me. And he just smiles at you and his eyes beam eyeball to eyeball with you. How did the two say it when they were on the road to Emmaus? When they got there and the Lord breaks bread with them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked by the way and he opened the scriptures to us? Jehovah remembers and he will bless his people in his appointed time. Keep going. I don't care if there's only two people in this room. One person and myself. We have a task given to us to build the house of the Lord. It's his house. He will supply the needs. He will give us the timbers. He will give us the stones. He will give us the strength. He will give us the wisdom. It is his house. He just asks us to obey him and walk by faith. So keep up the good work. He says, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. He's talking about those that were in the past. Before they went off into captivity, they were all, you go back and you read, it was a horrible time in Israel. Judah, they were all building their own houses. They had slaves. They were enslaving their own people. They were confiscating properties. They were using the law against their own people so that they could steal from the widows. They could steal from the orphans. They could steal from the defenseless. And so they could build up nice places for them. They could sit on nice fat couches and have slaves put food in their mouth. And, you read about it and you just say, this isn't the way God wants us to be. This is not what he wants his children to be doing. We are not here to be served. What did Jesus say to the disciples? They're all arguing there at the Last Supper. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the vice president? Who's going to be the treasurer? What did Jesus say? He that would be greatest among you shall be servant of all. That's what we're looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I would love to be able to wash his feet. I will tenderly take and I will look at where the scar was from the nails in his feet as I wash them. Wouldn't you like to have that job? Tenderly, lovingly, tears flowing down. That's what he wants us to do. That's how the attitude he wants us to have about him. Verse 3. Therefore, Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, said the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Even as rebellious as they were, as they were being taken off into captivity, as they were surrounded by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were starving in the city of Jerusalem, as they were eating their own children. It talks about a woman taking a newborn baby that she's just had and eating it. Zechariah, the Lord speaking through him, says, I spoke to your fathers. Don't be like they were, stiff-necked, stubborn, rebellious, hard-hearted, self-centered. You take those same attributes, and then we go into the New Testament. We go into the book of Galatians, right? The works of the flesh. What are they? You can read about it in Galatians 5. It's the same thing. As they were, even now we are. The flesh, it profits a man nothing. It's when you are totally yielded in your spirit, in your heart, and you let the Spirit of God guide your life. We walk by faith and not by sight. We go not by the wisdom of man. We go by the wisdom of God, and God's word is given to us. He has given us this word so that we may study it and meditate on it all the days of our life. What does he say in the Old Testament to Joshua? This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night. For then thou shalt have good success, and then thou wilt have, let me go back and look at it. I want to quote it correctly. Joshua chapter 1. Great. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. He said that to Joshua. He says it to us today. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Meditate in your Bible. Don't ever let it just slip through your fingers and your mind. Meditate on it, that he may guide you and direct you. So he comes back to this now. Let's take one more. Let's go a venture into the New Testament, book of Matthew, a couple pages over, Matthew chapter 23. You say to yourself, well, Zechariah is really a great prophet. He's teaching the people. He's saying, look, God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. He's going to be with you. He's going to help you. He's going to get you over this tough time that you're going through. So how did they do? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. Begin reading in verse 39. Lord Jesus is standing in that same city. He's standing in that same city with the descendants of those that Zechariah was talking to. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them that killed the prophets? Fill you up the measure of your fathers. You serpent, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you killed and crucify, and some of them you scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel until the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Doesn't say that in the book of Zechariah. But that's how he dies. These people that he's telling to rebuild the temple. These people that he's warning about. These people that we're going to read as we go through the book of Zechariah, where he talks about the coming Messiah, how he will ride into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey and the foal of a donkey. Where he talks about the millennial kingdom and he talks about God saving them from their enemies, how he's going to put them through the fire as gold is put through the fire, and only one third is going to come out of the back end. All the warnings, all the hope, all the chastisement that God, through Zechariah, gives to these people, how do they receive it? They will murder Zechariah between the temple and the altar outside. Have we changed at all? Now, I want you to understand this. Believers today have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of them. And because we all have, those that believe, have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, we can only go so far. God talks about this. He says, if you keep rebelling against me, I will hit you with a stick. And if you don't listen to me, I'll hit you with a 2x4. And if you don't listen to me after I hit you with a 2x4, I'll take you home. And so some of you sleep. That's what Paul says. But I want you to understand that every believer in this room right now, if you're a believer, you're sitting there. You still have the flesh. I still have the flesh. Can I do the same things that they did to Zechariah in my flesh? You better believe it. Can a man that is a believer, can he hate his brother? The flesh can. And so in 1 John, when he talks about to the believers that were alive that day, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is serious, very serious. I'm speaking to you this morning, and I am deadly serious about this. Why is it so important? God left us here in this world as his witness. You are, what does it say? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? Ambassador is one who goes and takes the representation of the president or the king, and he goes before the people and says, this is what the king of all the universe says. This is what the king of all the universe is, and this is what the king of all the universe wants. And we represent him here in this earth. He could have had angels. He could have had cherubims and seraphims, but he chose to have people that have flesh. our effectiveness will be dependent upon our obedience and our faith. That means that you must believe God. Whatever He says He wants, that is what we must do. It may not make any sense to us. The world may say, "Now this is wrong. This is unproductive. This is contrary to human kindness. This is," and they fill in all the different blanks. But we must say, "Yes, but you understand, I am an ambassador, the King of Glory. I don't represent myself. I represent Him, and He has said that this is how I must be." God will bring the blessing. That's what it says. Jehovah remembers. Jehovah blesses His people when they obey Him. And He will do it in His good time. You may not see it. Daniel didn't see it. He stayed, never went to Jerusalem. You read the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Daniel. God's speaking to him. He says, "Daniel, go thy way, take thy rest." In other words, you're going to die. "For you shall stand in your inheritance in the last day." He saw by faith what was not real yet. And he acted by faith. And he asked us to do the same. How's that song go? My wife taught me when I was a new believer, "Dare to be a Daniel." Right? You all know that little tune. "Dare to be a Daniel." So, Zechariah is going to be killed by those that he's preaching to. That's how much they value him. But his word, the word of God that he puts down on paper, it goes on. And it will go on as we go through the book of Zechariah. We will see that the things that he said came to pass. Things that he said that have not yet come to pass will. Verse 7. "Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebad, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man upon a red horse, and he among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sits still and is at rest." What happened was, at this particular time, now we've gone back in time, and we're looking at this passage right here is talking about at the time of Zechariah. It's talking about when Darius is in his second year of his reign, and all the world was at rest. There were no wars. Darius wasn't at war with anybody. There was no wars in the Mediterranean. There was no wars in Israel. There was the world as we know it and as recorded in history was almost conflict-free. But nobody cares about Israel. Nobody cares about God's people. Nobody cares about the name of Jehovah and the place where he will place his name, Jerusalem. And so what we're seeing here is almost like We're looking at the newspapers of the world. We've got all the newspapers of the world, Russian, Italian, Chinese, everything laid out before us. They're all saying economies are going fine, crops are coming in, there's no wars anywhere. The world says, yay, this is perfection. We are really starting to make progress. And what is God up in heaven looking down? He says, no, you are not making progress. My people are suffering. They are not doing what I asked them to do. They are being persecuted. They are discouraged. They are beside themselves. And you don't care. Verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years, the last 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion, with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. They took what I wanted them to do to punish you, and they took it way beyond what I asked them to do. They piled on. They beat you. They tore you to shreds, and they took joy in it. Even today, we see the same thing. The Christian church in Syria, they took joy in destroying them, raping the women and beheading the men and taking the children off as captives. What do you think God in heaven? You think he doesn't see? Think that you can be at peace and go on? God will not remember? We are dealing with the creator of the universe here. We're not dealing with somebody that has a little tiny bit of power and two planes and a couple hand grenades. We're talking about the one who made everything. And you do that to his people? How long, O Lord, it says in the beginning of this passage. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. I'll begin reading at verse 9. This is talking about during the tribulation period. It's in our future, but maybe not too far from today. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? It's almost as if nothing has changed. We see 450 BC, we see back during the time of Noah, we see back during the time of Cain and Abel, only two sons in the world, and that which would obey God by faith and that which would not, and they hated those that obey by faith and they killed them. And the blood was poured out upon the ground. And it hasn't changed and it won't change. And so here we see up in heaven the spirits of those that had been beheaded, those that had been tortured to death, those that were killed, and there they are. They are, now it says there, that they are under the altar. It's almost as if in heaven there's the gathering of all those that belong to the Lord. They are with him.
They are never going to be separated from him. But they cry out to him and they say, look at what is happening, not just to us, but to those that are your children, those that you will call. How long will you let this go on? Almost as if he wants to say, remember, in his appointed time? That's also part of the title that is for the book of Zechariah. In his appointed time. And so Christ up in heaven, he has all these saints that are saying to him, I don't understand. Why long? How long? How long will this go on, Lord? It is so hard for your children as we go through this. It's almost as if Jesus, he takes those that are his and he puts them on his lap and he puts his arm around them and he says, it's okay, I understand. Just let me show you something. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. It's okay. He puts his arm around you and he whispers in your ear, I'm going to put my righteousness, this white robe, upon you. You are mine. You are protected by me. You are wrapped in me. You are loved by me. You are mine. And no one will ever hurt you again. You are now home with me. Just be patient. There are others that are still in the flesh. They must go through these things as you went through them. That they too will be able to come up here. That they too will be able to be sitting with me, my arms around them, wrapped in my love, wrapped in this white robe that I will give them, just as I have given to you. And in eternity, that's what's important. That will give me and you and you and you and you, that will give us so much to sing to him about. We will be able to rehearse all the wonderful things that he has done for us and how he let us go through these things so that we would have this contrast between how does being outside of God, how does that work out? And how does that compare with being inside of God? Dying, starving, cold, rejected, hated, isolated, or being loved and wrapped in righteousness and being spoken softly by the Lord as he tells us how much he loves us for all eternity. We can wait. I can wait. We can all wait. Right? Back to Zechariah. I'll see if I can. I got a couple seconds left. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. You go back to Daniel chapter 7. He talks about the four horns.
He explains what it is. The four horns are the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire and the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great and the Roman Empire. These are the four great empires that would come to power, and they would each one in their turn beat the children of God to pieces. So what happens to these Greek four horns of the Gentiles? Verse 20 and 21. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Some of your Bibles, you may have a different word there than carpenters. Does anybody else have something different than carpenters? Craftsmen? It's interesting. The word really is a smith. Someone that forms things, fashions them like a metal. He takes the hammer and he beats the iron into a sheet, or he beats it into a horseshoe, or he takes his hammer and he beats the metal and forms it into a sword or a spear. The word is smith here. We have a Mr. Smith in our assembly. And now we say, oh, look, he's in the Bible. It says that the Lord showed me four smiths. Then said I, what come these to do? What are they coming to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man lifted up his head. But these, the four smiths, are come to fray them, or to beat them to pieces, to smash them with their hammers until they are just sparks flying through the air. To fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it. This is coming. This will come. It has come historically. Every one of them has fallen. The Roman Empire will rise again. I believe that we are witnessing it even in our days. Everything that says in the scriptures is going to happen. It says that there will be 10 nations that will come together where the Roman Empire used to be, each with their own different language, each with their own different customs and culture, and they will form one union. And that's exactly what I see in Europe today. I see Greece and Italy and Rome and, you know, and Germany and Portugal and all the nations that once the Roman Empire occupied, I see them all as the EU now. One nation. Each with their own presidents, just as it says. And yet there will come an 11th. We call him the beast, the Antichrist. And he will make war against us, then will prevail against them, and will kill them. Just as we read. And the Lord will say to them, wait a little while. Come up here and let me put this white robe upon you while you wait for your brothers who must die as you have died. When we come back, we'll do chapter 2. I have enjoyed looking into the book of Zechariah, and I hope that you are enjoying it too. There's just, again, we must always remember that he's speaking to the Jews. When we go back to this, it's from the perspective of the Jews. But when I read through this, I see bleeding all through it what he says to his believers and his children in every generation, in every place. We're going to see that. Even as we go into chapter 2, he begins to bring that to the fore. All right. 10 minutes. I went over 5 minutes, so we'll start at 1:45. Is that all right? I'll give you all 10 minutes. Thank you.